Walter Winchell was the famous American journalist and radio commentator who used Morse code in his broadcast. He used a unique telegraph key set up to generate fast Morse code, which he sent at 900 hertz tones at the start of his broadcast. He actually could read and send Morse code. His sign-on was, "Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. North America," and "All the ships at sea, let's go to press." The telegraph key setup that he used included a pair of vibroplex bugs, as they were called. These keys were designed to increase the speed at which telegraph operators could send dots in the Morse code. Pressing the lever to the right activated a vibrating mechanism which produced a long string of dots, and moving the lever to the left allowed the operator to produce dashes and dots manually. It's worth noting that while Winchell used Morse code in his broadcast, the code he punched out was described as bogus in some sources, suggesting he may not have conveyed meaningful messages. Nevertheless, the use of Morse code added a distinctive element to his broadcast. Walter Winchell was also known for several unique elements in his broadcast. He gave what was called a machine gun staccato delivery. Winchell's broadcasts were delivered in a fast-paced, distinctive style that was often referred to as machine gun staccato. This rapid-fire delivery became one of his trademarks. Winchell created his own slang and Winchellisms, a slang known as Winchellese, where he used unique phrases and terms. For example, falling in love became pashing it or gaboing it, while newlyweds awaited a blessed event unless their relationship was or about to be renovated. Gossip and rumors about Winchell. While it was known for his ability to spin tales about famous people, often based on the thinly veiled rumor and allegations he had the knack of exploiting because he had a lot of contacts that he gossiped with, way of paying the friend for some certain gossip, he, instead of paying the friend, would often return his favor simply by keeping silence about something he knew about the friend. Nice friend, huh? He was a powerful influence. A plug in Winchell's column could guarantee any show a success run or raise the profile of a starlet, and equally, a dig in the column could tarnish or even destroy professional reputations. Winchell was known for the clicking telegraph key alongside his broadcast, and this was a unique element that added a distinctive sound to his broadcast. He had a signature column. His signature columns were filled with snappy, acerbic banter. These columns were widely read and contributed to his influence. Each week, a growing audience tuned in to hear him sign on, "Good evening, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border and coast to coast and all the ships at sea." He'd say, "Let's go to press." This became one of his most famous catchphrases. On this track, I'm going to air a Walter Winchell broadcast that was made on February 25th, 1945, as we were rapidly approaching the end of World War II. Keep in mind, some of the words used in this were done in 1945, and you know what I'll mean after you hear them. My name is John Lovering, and this is Heirloom Radio, a different kind of oldies program, and I thank you for listening.
One of the most thrilling adventures in the war happened today when an American destroyer dashed to within 25 miles of Tokyo to rescue two American flyers. Washington. Edward J. Flynn, the New York Democratic leader and the personal friend of the President of the United States, has gone to Moscow to improve and stabilize relations between Russia and the Vatican. Hollywood. Joan Fontaine, the moving picture star and the recent wife of actor Brian Ahern, will marry producer John Houseman in June. New York City. James Dunn, the leading man in the moving picture called A Tree Grows in Brooklyn, and Edna Rush, also of the New York stage, will be married sometime next week. San Francisco. The Tokyo radio is screaming again. This time, the Japs declare that American formations are roaring in at night. That would make it our third raid on the Japanese capital within the last 24 hours. Chicago. The New York Daily Mirror tonight reports that Sergeant Joe Lewis, the heavyweight champion of the world, and his wife, Martha, will confirm the long-time divorce rumors sometime next week. Here's more on the bombing of Hirohito's Imperial grounds. The British radio reports that part of the barracks of the Imperial Palace Guards were demolished. Tokyo admits that American bombs fell near the Omaya Palace, home of the Emperor's mother. More later. Behind the international fronts, inside Japan, Tokyo, a terrific shakeup in the Japanese cabinet caused by all the American victories is about to explode. Behind the scenes, Dr. Heinrich Stammer, that's S-T-A-H-M-E-R, the Nazi ambassador, is maneuvering desperately for a Japanese military cabinet. One that he hopes will attack Russia. This Dr. Stammer is credited at Berlin, Germany, with arranging the attack on Pearl Harbor. Stockholm. The Nazi Gestapo is starting to burn its secret papers. Bern, Switzerland. The German army is now rationing its ammunition. 20% of all German explosive factories are now in Russian hands. Moscow. The Russians are consolidating their gains. From the east bank of the Oder, the Russians intend to launch the knockout punch of the war. Stalin has nearly 18 million men under arms, outnumbering the Nazis 4-1. Manila. The Japanese army and the Japanese navy are practically fighting each other. The Japanese navy's chief duty is to ferry the Japanese army. But the Jap navy not only cannot deliver reinforcements, it can't even defend Tokyo waters. Japanese army men now blame their navy for losing the fleet, the war, and face. It is now beginning to look like the Japanese boast of writing the peace in the White House will come true. Unconditional surrender. Washington. In spite of her hypocritical change of face, Argentina is massing troops on Chile's border. Chile fears attack within the year. Top Nazi munitions makers are directing Argentina's war preparation. Argentina is desperately trying for an American Munich at Mexico City with some American backers that would amaze you. You, not Winchell. New York. Approximately 25,000 square yards of the heart of Tokyo, down the main streets and up again, were aflame following today's air raid. Attention, Mr. and Mrs. United States. A national curfew may or not be a wise law, but there can be no doubt of the government's right to pass it and our duty to obey it. If our fighting men face 24 hours of fighting duty at $50 a month, we owe our government 8 hours of work at $50 a week. And you owe yourself 8 hours of sleep to give your country your best. It is not a question of the Constitution. It is a question of common sense. As an American citizen, you have an absolute constitutional right to remain awake. But please remember the many wounded American fighters who must be given narcotics to go to sleep. For many, this war is not a question of midnight whoopee. It is a question of midnight agony. When you plan an evening of midnight fun, remember that your government is protecting you against midnight attack. So, curfew is not a question of what our government is trying to take away from your rights. It is a question of what you are willing to give to the war effort. Next week, for some Americans, the few hours after curfew may mean the last of a long night of jollity. For some other Americans, it will mean the final hours of their lives. Washington. The Boston Dog Show is the first of its kind to be canceled. The ODT was infuriated after discovering that despite the edict banning unnecessary travel and conventions starting February 1st, over 2,000 dogs and their very proud owners were shipped to Madison Square Garden, New York, from as far west as California. New York. It's another little digest. A girl at the Horace Coons at the French Hospital, New York City. The father is the associate editor of Pick Magazine. Mother is on the staff of Life. New York City. Frank Lesser, the songwriter genius, has composed another very fine number, which may become an American folk song. It was inspired by a soldier hero by the name of Private Roger Young. Roger Young, ladies and gentlemen, died to protect many of his comrades caught in ambush. This song by Frank Lesser, who also wrote Praise the Lord and Pass the Ammunition and many other very fine songs, will be the subject of many articles in various magazines very soon. New York. The two New Yorkers, S. Cadell and his daughter Marie, whose espionage activities for Germany were exposed by the FBI, will be sentenced on March the 1st. They may each get 20 years. That's not enough. A reporter's report to the nation and to the wounded servicemen in the studio tonight. The International Rogues Gallery Confidence Man Division. His Majesty's Intelligence Service has its very own horror story. Here it is. Some years ago, before this war, Great Britain and Russia reached a point where the British embassy staff was asked to leave Moscow. A certain Norwegian major, posing as a friend of the British, was left in charge of the records in the British embassy. These included the confidential files. And this is why it is called a horror story. The Norwegian major, trusted by the British to guard their confidential files, was the infamous Vidkun Quisling, the Norwegian traitor, whose name Quisling will forever after be a synonym for treachery. International Rogues Gallery, attention newspaper editors. Raymond Fernando Cuesta is the top agent for Franco in the Western Hemisphere. He is very busy writing a propaganda history of Franco for distribution in the Americas. This fascist promoter was exchanged as a prisoner in the Spanish Civil War by the International Red Cross. He immediately double-crossed the Red Cross by rejoining Franco's army. He is now chief contact man with Hitler and chief Spanish spy on this side of the world. Be careful, then, when his tripe reaches your desk. He should be marked for trial with other war criminals. Attention newspapermen and magazine editors. There is a Greek admiral lecturing in the United States. Admiral Sakella Ariou, I think it is. Anyway, S-A-K-E-L-L-A-R-I-O-U. He is the commander of the Greek fleet. This Greek admiral, ladies and gentlemen, is telling American audiences that Greece needs a very strong man to run it. This admiral was connected with the Metaxas dictatorship in Greece. The admiral was also notoriously friendly to the Nazis. Greek sailors report that officers appointed by him tried to turn the Greek Navy over to the Germans. That charge is in the records of our government. It must be a very interesting file in Washington, D.C. Why not make it public so that his lectures will be better understood? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this Admiral Alexander Sakella Ariou, I think it is a man with a history. One interesting chapter is why and how and for what purpose is he now in the United States? Governor's Island, New York. The hangings of the two Nazi saboteurs have been held up because defense counsel has appealed for a writ. He contends that Kolpaw, the American half of the saboteurs, should be saved from death by a technicality. Kolpaw himself, ladies and gentlemen, at his trial, a very fair trial, confessed to being a spy and a traitor. But his lawyer says he didn't say positively. And now, Mr. Ben Grauer and company for Jergens Lotion. I'll be back in a flash with a bolt from the blue.
Tokyo. The Japanese are hysterical with fury because of today's wonderful bombing of the Emperor's imperial backyard. One bomb struck his mother's house. What, only one? Premier Koiso has requested an audience with his imperial majesty to apologize for what Premier Koiso called the arrogance of American airmen. What Premier Koiso apparently means, ladies and gentlemen, is that he wishes, censored, Japan didn't attack Pearl Harbor. Ladies and gentlemen, here's another ad to that. Premier Koiso announced that he will apologize on behalf of his cabinet for, quote, the Japanese government's unforgivable negligence in permitting American bombs to drop on imperial property. And that, ladies and gentlemen, winds up another Jergens Journal until next Sunday night at the very same time. Until then, and with lotions of love, I remain your New York correspondent, Walter Winchell, who thinks that no American should gripe about the nightclub curfew. Making whoopee can kill time, but it can't kill Jack. Good night.